Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
But that's the play where they went for it on fourth and one, which to me is still inexplicable. So both teams now...
I don't mind going for it there. What I do mind is the play call where you're going right into the strength of their defense with a quarterback sneak that you haven't run all year. And as soon as they lined up and it was obvious they were going to sneak it, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? At that point, I thought maybe they're going to draw them off and call a timeout, but there's no way they're going to run.
That's what I assumed. I didn't think they were going to run a play, period.
Well,
how many times had they lined up under center all day?
Well, and that's the thing. How many quarterback sneaks have they run all year?
Are you surprised that the LSU line really hasn't moved since last we spoke?
No. I mean, because there's still a week to go. Anybody who's at like a big who's making a massive wager has A, already taken a position because they liked it where it opened, or B, they're doing what I'm doing and sitting around hoping that it gets to a seven. And, you know, if it doesn't, they'll play late.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will read it. It's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on Twitch and comment there, you can do so. Miss the first 2 hours? That's some of what you missed. You also miss Scrody.
Scrody.
A lot of Texans talk in the first hour, a lot of NFL talk in the second, and then Scrody. And Lance Erline. Scrody came after Lance
Erline. And then Scrody.
So all of that is available on podcastarena.com or will be shortly. And no matter how you're listening, whether it's on whether you're listening on the Twitch channel or on the app or on the radio or streaming or Alexa or any of those things, thanks for tuning in.
Or all of those things.
It's possible, yeah.
I mean, it'd be wild, but it could be done.
And so, yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. So,
this microphone is smelly.
Who's on that thing?
I don't know. What's going on around here? Our guys are gross at this place.
Yeah, well, that's why I use my own mic cover. I don't let anybody...
Yeah, I used to do it, but I wish everybody else would use a mic cover except me, because I feel like it sounds better when I don't have the cover on.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference, but I like having it for... It's just that way I know that if somebody was spitting in this thing all day with the disease,
yeah,
I don't have to deal with that because I have a mic cover.
I'm just going to die.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen.
Barry was in here hacking up his bronchitis on it, probably.
Well, at least you could hear him today. There was that. So, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And if you haven't checked out Sports Map today, Charlie Polillo has a video up about the Texans and what their hopes now hinge on moving forward. I think it hinges on Patrick Mahomes' knee going in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later in the week, but I think for the Texans to have any shot in that game, Watson has to play like he did in the fourth quarter the entire game. Offensively, they're going to have to score, I think, 38, maybe more, to be in that, you know, to have a chance to win, because the Chiefs are going to put up points, especially against this defense. Lamont asked, you guys any way skeptical about travel with recent events? I'm really not, but I'm not really going anywhere. I was thinking about going to London for a few days because the wife's going to be there for a couple weeks, but it's just not going to work with the way things are here. I can't get away for that long, and I don't really want to do a 10-hour flight for 2 days.
Right.
You know, it's basically 10 hours both ways to be there 2 days. So, because by the time you adjust, you got to leave. But, no, I'm not worried about it. I mean, maybe I'd be concerned if I were... No, I'm not. I mean, people are going to do what they do. You just got to, you know... I'm a firm believer in live your life. Don't worry about it until they tell us, hey, man, you probably don't want to fly here. So...
Yeah, I didn't have any trips planned to Iran or Iraq.
I'm gonna avoid both. Yeah.
They're both red dot places to me.
Yeah, I don't have any interest. The only place that I really want to go over there at some point, I'd like to, I wouldn't mind going to Dubai for the Dubai World Cup, the horse race. But you know, if I don't get there, I'm okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, it's Australia is on my list. I'd like to get down to Australia before I croak. But yeah, I crossed off a pretty big one by going to Europe. So I'm not really in any hurry to do any more of that. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And yes, I'm well aware of the fact that you could have the AFC South Championship rematch with the Texans and Titans after they upset the Ravens and Chiefs. I'm going to say less than 4% chance that happens.
Seems unlikely.
I kind of feel like the Titans are more likely to upset the Ravens than the Texans are the Chiefs, but I feel like the Texans are more likely to cover than the Titans are, if that makes any sense. Like, if one scenario is going to happen, if you tell me, okay, what's the most likely upset scenario, I think the Texans could cover. But I don't think I think they have less of a chance of winning. I think it kind of depends on how the game goes with the Titans. If they control the ball with Derrick Henry and keep that offense off the field and come up with a couple turnovers, then I could see them hanging ugly up the game.
Yeah, but it's hard to ugly up a game against the Ravens.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the underrated part of the Ravens is how good that defense has been.
Yep.
Since they fixed it. So,
and will the Titans be able to stop the run for an entire game?
Yeah, and you're not going to stop them.
Or even slow the run.
Yeah. You've got to make a few plays. You got to hope they turn the ball over. And then you've got to control the clock. I run Henry until his legs fall off. But
you know what else you got to do?
Drink some Carbach.
Drink some Carbach, man. Monday, February 10th, 11 a.m., the 4th annual Carbach Classic at Sterling Country Club. Join Carbach in the fight to find a cure for MS at the 4th annual Carbach Classic. All proceeds are going to go to the National MS Society through the Carbach Cycling Team. You're going to enjoy a complimentary concert out there from 11 to noon. Sponsors will get to select a celebrity golfer to join their team, likes of Jeff Bloom, Kevin Walter, other Texans players, Mark Clayton, and more. Shotgun start at noon, scramble play, longest drive contest, closest to the pin. It's all going to be a great time. Lunch and dinner provided by Backyard Grill. Purchase your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. And then Sunday, February 16th, 1 p.m. at the brewery, the Rodeo Clown Roundup. Rodeo season will be here soon. They're going to have the 3rd annual Rodeo Clown Roundup. Blackberry Smoke, Corey Morrow, Band of Heathens, and Clint Daniel. Grab your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. And while you're out and about, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. Took your bitch out the game, I had to sub her. Swap, swap,
no masterpiece. Hey. 10 bad babs and they after me. You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Houston, when was the last time you went to a true sports bar? I mean, one that has every sports package and...
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is the head coach of the men's basketball program at Texas A&M, Coach Buzz Williams on the program. Coach, how you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. It's been a while. We hadn't talked to you since since before Christmas. So you guys have played a few games since then. I think went 3-1 in that stretch, including a big win over Oregon State. Let's start there. That was sort of a real outlier performance for you guys this year, a game where Oregon State was pretty highly thought of going in, and you guys really controlled that game. What do you think went right for you against the Beavers?
I thought we did a really good job on the glass. I thought it was the first time that we controlled the glass on both ends. Not just the overall number, but we controlled the glass on the offensive end. We controlled the glass on the defensive end. Oregon State's a good team. They have won 7 in a row, I think, when we played them. I think they won last night at Colorado, which I think was their second league game. It was a great win to finish the semester for us with. It was the first Power 5 team that we had played in a while. And I thought our guys did a really good job playing to the scouting report, and our staff did an outstanding job of presenting what we thought was most important to winning that game.
You guys have Ole Miss coming up tomorrow, and when you look at this Ole Miss team, what stands out to you? They look like a really sharp defensive team, maybe some offensive woes. What do you see with Ole Miss?
I'm a little behind on studying them, AJ. We got stuck in Fayetteville Saturday night and wasn't able to get back until yesterday. So relative to how I go about planning, I'm a little behind. 0-4-2 are their perimeter players, and combined they've taken 50% of their shots. That's not uncommon, but I think that those three guys are the trigger not only to what they're doing offensively, I also think they're the trigger to what they are trying to accomplish defensively. I think Coach Davis is probably a top five coach in the country. Phenomenal coach inside the lines, obviously was the head coach at Texas A&M when I was in high school here, and has done an incredible job and has always very well thought of in the coaching community. Offensively, AJ, they play with great pace, whether that's in the full court or in the half court. I would say their pace of play is very efficient, more efficient than most teams. And then defensively, they play mostly man, but what has also always been a part of coaches' defensive philosophy, they'll play a 1-3-1 the entire half court, almost like they're pressing you. And at times it stays a 1-3-1 throughout the possession, but then at times, depending upon where the ball goes offensively, it can fall back into a 2-3. He's done that no matter where he's coached, in junior college at Middle Tennessee. He's also doing that at Ole Miss. Somewhat choppy offensively. They'll run that zone press on made baskets, on dead balls, on missed shots. So it can happen at any time, and it's just in hopes of keeping you out of rhythm offensively.
Have you noticed, I mean, obviously you've only played one league game so far, but did you notice going into the Arkansas game that your guys were maybe a little bit excited about starting over? Because it seemed like the start of that game, and honestly, other than the last maybe 3 minutes of the first half, it felt like you played them even the entire time. And that one spurt, you guys were never able to get back into the game, all the way back in the game after that. But, I mean, it was a back-and-forth game till about that three-minute mark of the first. It seems like your guys came out with some confidence, came out with some fire. Do you think that's something to do with starting up SEC play?
Maybe so. I think we've improved over the last month. I think our guys are starting to play much harder. I think our execution level is improving. It's not at the level that it needs to be in order to win on the road in the SEC, but I think they're aware of when we're struggling, identifying why we're struggling, which is good. I think they play with more fight. I think they play together more. They have embraced what our struggles are. It was a one possession game with 7 minutes to go in the first half at Arkansas, completely sold out arena, great college basketball atmosphere. It was the same one possession game with 7 minutes to play. We were down 55-52 with 7 minutes to play. We turned the ball over six times to close the game down. Similar to what you were talking about, we were down at half, I believe, seven, and then brought it back to a one-point game in the second half. But that segment that you were mentioning in the first half, we just turned the ball over. Turned the ball over too much. It's a one-possession game with a minute and 10 seconds left. We had two turnovers. They only had three offensive rebounds in the first half, and two of those three were on the last possession, and they make a three. So it was 7. Went back to get it to one, and then, with 7 minutes to go, it's 55-52, and we have six of our 17 turnovers to close the game down. And turnover rate has been an issue since I've been talking to you, whatever station this is, and it's continued to be an issue. We've made some strides, but for sure against Arkansas, the last ATO of the first half, the last ATO of the second half, we didn't get enough shots, and we gave the opponent too many extra possessions.
Rebounding's been one of the things that you've been preaching this season, and that you guys actually you out rebounded them pretty handily in that game. That was a were you pleased with the performance on the glass?
We're doing better. We're doing better on the offensive glass, giving ourselves an opportunity for an extra possession. We're doing a better job on the defensive glass of not giving the opponent extra possessions. I think we beat them in the offensive rebound category, the defensive rebound category. So overall, obviously, we beat them. I think we beat them by 7 on the glass. The thing that hurt us, and it's, again, our Achilles heel, rebounding has been an issue, particularly offensive rebound percentage by the opponent, and then our turnover rate. I think, AJ, I think they shot 13 or 14 more balls. And one of the things that we've tried to do, maybe since the second week of December, instead of getting lost in the numbers, is we want to attempt the same number of shots or more than the opponent. And the reason why Arkansas shot more balls than we did, distinctly more, was not because of the offensive glass. It was because of the turnovers. And so we've made some strides, but we need to continue along that same narrow path that we've been focusing on.
The team actually shot pretty well overall against Arkansas, at least from the field. The three-point line continues to be sort of a bugaboo for you guys. Have you talked to your guys about, you know, maybe we're not as much of a volume three-point shooting team as we wanted to be at the beginning of the season, and maybe working more on the inside out?
Yeah, anything that I would say to you or anything that I say to all of the other radio stations that I do an interview with, AJ, I just tell our guys the truth. We're lost in the country at three-point field goal percentage. Some of that is we probably need to shoot more in practice. Some of that is we may need to shoot more on our own. Some of that is the quality of the shots that we shoot. We shot 15 shots from three. We're forcing our opponents to shoot almost 50% of their shots from three. So defensively, I think we're doing some good stuff. Offensively, our team's going to guard us as if we could shoot. I would say the answer to that is make. We need to work on the quality of our shots. Being able to make 4 threes, that helps. We need to be able to make more. Arkansas made 10, we made 4. They shot 30, we shot 15. Overall, some of those shots you just have to, in the most simple terms, you need to be good enough to make. And so we can't afford to take bad shots, but at the same time, we do need to be able to play inside out, like you mentioned, and I think Nebo has allowed that to happen. But when you play inside out, it's not as if AJ knows that, so does the coach of the other team, and they're trying to prevent you from throwing the ball inside, and they really don't care if you shoot it from the outside. So there's a little bit of that going on as well.
Are you happy with the tempo that your team plays at right now? You're a slower team, and obviously, like you said, the shots haven't been coming, but and the turnovers are an issue. But are you happy with the pacing that your guys are moving at?
Yeah, we can't play too fast. We can't score enough points to win. And the more possessions, the more turnovers. And so I think we're playing at the right pace, the pace that gives us our best chance. I think it was probably a 64 or 65 possession game. The game's going to continue to shorten, not just for us, but all teams throughout the country because league play has started. Are we a 70 possession game team? I don't think so. Are we closer to 64, 63? I think that probably means we've shortened the game, which trends towards it helps us. So, yes, sir, I think from a pace standpoint, I think we're playing at the right pace.
And last question before I let you go, Coach. I think you'd coming into this season, if I'd told you were going to be getting the contributions you get from your bench guys, you'd probably be pretty pleased, right? Are you happy with what you're getting out of the depth?
You know, to be honest, AJ, I think in many respects, they all know their role, and whether they start or whether they come off the bench, in order for us to have a chance, we need everybody to be their absolute best version of themselves. We're going to play 7.5 guys. We're going to suit up 8 scholarship guys, and we need all of them to be their best, no matter how many minutes they play. And we may do that. Maybe we'll have a chance in some of these games. So regardless, Mark French has started some games. He's still playing a very important role. I started Chuck instead of JJ because he's been in a really good groove in our work leading up to the game since Christmas has been over. I think Nebo has been playing very well from a production standpoint. We need Emmanuel to be really, really good. We need Jay, even though he's playing out of position. I thought it was easily the best game of his career thus far. He scored 7 baskets, and I don't know how many players on our team have scored 7 baskets at all in a game, much less on the road at Arkansas. So regardless of whether they start or not, AJ, I think there's so much similarities between all of them. We just need them to be the best they can be, whether they start or come off the bench, so that we'll have our best chance.
All right, Aggies take on Ole Miss tomorrow in College Station, and then on Saturday you'll hear them here on ESPN 97.5 taking on Vanderbilt up in Nashville. Coach, appreciate the time. Best of luck this week, and we'll talk to you next week before the LSU game.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that's Buzz Williams.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Only 2 segments to go here on a Monday. Hope everybody's having a good one. Did you pay any attention to the Golden Globes last night?
Not one bit.
Me either. I kind of wish I'd watched it because apparently Ricky Gervais was hilarious. He went after everybody, especially Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some of his lines were classic. But some notable winners. 1917 won the Best Motion Picture.
It looks really good.
It does.
I'm going to watch it. I think it hits theaters everywhere this Friday.
Yeah, apparently.
So I'll be on it.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won the Best Motion Picture for Musical or Comedy.
That's not surprising.
Brad Pitt got Best Supporting Actor. Renee Zellweger won Best Actress for her portrayal of Judy Garland. And Joaquin Phoenix, Best Actor for Joker. Okay. So, interestingly enough, I don't think The Irishman got anything.
The Irishman was the Vegas favorite to win Best Picture.
Yeah. Vegas was wrong.
Womp,
womp. And I was glad to see this. Taron Egerton won the Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy for Rocket Man. He was fantastic in that. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah. I mean, he was just amazing. So, good for him. There's some award winners for you.
The last bowl game has gotten underway. The Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette taking on Miami of Ohio, and in our pool, I had ULL with a 39-point confidence, and then I looked at the standings today and realized that basically, I knew everybody was going to pick ULL. They were a 2-touchdown favorite, and this isn't against the spread, but my only way to get into the money is to go against them. And hope that the right team doesn't win. And I just looked at it, and literally everyone else in the pool picked ULL to win. So I'm a Miami of Ohio fan tonight, and I think the best I can finish is 3rd, which will get me my money back. But if I would have just played it straight, I would have had 0 chance to finish in the top 3. So might as well take some chances, Fred. Well,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's all about cashing, right? I didn't realize you could switch stuff.
You can switch them until the game starts.
Well, I wish I'd known that. I did not know that going in. Not that it would have mattered. I think I'm dead last.
You are.
Yeah. So it started off badly with SMU and went downhill from there.
Oh, SMU. Damn SMU. Yeah, the Hawaii-BYU game and Auburn hit me pretty hard, too.
The hell happened to Cody Stutes? He was killing it.
Yeah, because all his big games were early. I think he's still... Did he fall all the way off?
Yeah, he's 10th.
Oh, man. Yeah, he blew it then. He did have a pretty healthy lead.
Well, Eric Sandler is your leader.
He is.
Andrew Carlson and Jake Asman.
The ass man.
Jermaine is 4th and you're 5th right now.
Yep.
And Aaron is 6th. And I am DFL
and proud of it.
I think Aaron probably should have done what I did today.
Yeah, I probably should have.
Yeah. You're not as deep of a thinker as I am, Aaron.
I just haven't been paying attention to it.
Yeah, I'm very smart.
I mean, I'm kind of proud that I went from dead last all the way up until like 5 days ago to now
That's
I'm
true.
In sixth.
You did do a good job getting back in it.
I did not. So
no.
And to be honest, I quit paying attention early. After, I said after SMU lost, I kind of felt like I don't have any chance to win the thing because that was my big one. So just kind of, all right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Man, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently that Cats movie is going to lose like $71 million. Like, who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. I don't care about that. I don't want to watch that.
No, I don't think anybody does. I don't want to see the play, but I mean, I'm guessing that... I mean, how often do you take a play and it actually works? Like something that's popular?
Nope. Oh, boy. Rotten Tomatoes, 21%.
Is that the critics or the people? Because I kind of tend to go with the people on these.
Audience score, 53.
Whoa. Okay.
So, it's not much better. Audiences are usually friendlier than critics. Like,
yeah.
Because once you pay money to watch a movie, most people are like, it was all right. That's usually like worse. Rarely do people, you know, plop down $17 for a movie ticket and then walk out of it going, God, that sucked. I mean, I have too. But it's in your nature to find some kind of good in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. To me, the entertaining part is if it turns out to be really, really bad.
Yeah.
At least I get that out of it.
Ooh, that. 1970 has 90%.
Yeah, I hear nothing but good stuff about it. But I thought it was like a Netflix thing. I didn't realize it was a theater release.
Oh, yeah, it's going in theaters.
Well, I mean, I've only seen the commercial 6,000 times, so I should know that.
Maybe you should pay attention.
Yeah, I don't pay a lot of attention to commercials. I take that back because I pay attention to commercials when they're funny for the wrong reasons. Like, have you seen that Pitbull Boost Mobile commercial where he's got all the people dancing in the background?
Yeah.
It's like the worst dancing you'll ever see. Pay attention to it. It's like, what's her face from Seinfeld?
Elaine.
Doing the Elaine dance. Imagine like 20 people doing the Elaine dance. it's hilarious. And I can't imagine some poor dancer gets, oh man, this is it. This is my opportunity. I get to do a commercial or I get to dance, and then you have to turn that in when you go to try to get in Cats or whatever. Yeah, you're not getting the job.
No,
just telling you. It's so weird. Their legs going off in weird directions and stuff. I'm just looking at it going, what the hell? All right, probably should have saved that for the dumbass report, huh?
Yeah,
which is coming up next. So don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. One last segment to go before we get to Dumbass Report. I don't know if you saw this, but Harvey Weinstein went to court today for the start of his trial. He pleaded not guilty on 5 counts of rape and sexual assault. He was using a walker to go into the courtroom.
Yeah.
Having seen enough mafia movies, if you've got a walker, an oxygen tent, or anything like that, and you go into the courtroom, you're guilty. That's just,
or if you're blind.
Yeah, blind's a good one. I lost my eyesight. But yeah, I mean, the whole going for the sympathy thing. Come on, dude. Hey, man, bleep that. All right, let's do the dumbass report.
All right, let's start with Florida, man, where Donald Watts was high on methamphetamines. Fred, can you believe it?
Shocker.
And he was rolling around in the ditch, completely naked, making bird noises, which is that's regular behavior when you're high on meth.
Yeah, that's methy.
Yeah, welcome to Florida. When Watts saw that the cops were there, he punched one of them in the face.
Oh, boy.
And when they...
When rolling around naked isn't enough for you, you've got a real problem.
When they used stun guns on him, he was not deterred. That's a lot of meth.
No kidding.
Don't do meth!
So, what did they do? They released Casper, the canine.
Ooh.
When Casper found Watts in the woods nearby, Watts was on all fours, growling at the police dog, which he then bit on the ear.
Jeez.
So he's biting a police dog, and then Casper, he decided, oh, we're going to play that game, and then he bit Watts in the head, and Watts was finally arrested on multiple charges.
Yeah, I'm Team Casper in that thing.
Yeah. This story's from your neck of the woods, Fred. Regina.
Oh, geez. Oh, don't tell this, you hoser.
A driver was waiting for a train to pass, and the train was so darn long that the driver took a little nap waiting on the train to go by. And when the police officer said, hey, the train arm went up, traffic was blocked for about 15 seconds there. So what did I do? I lit up the lights on him. And he was still sleeping, so I knocked on the window, and sure enough, he wakes up and says, oh my, I fell asleep. And I said, oh my is right. Here's a $280 ticket.
Well, that's $280 Canadian, eh, which means it's like 40 U.S.
That's true.
I can see that, though. There's like a big train line that goes through there.
Yeah.
And some of them are really long, so yeah.
Someone said, to be fair, it was the train crossing by Ring Road, which can he really be blamed? We know how long of a delay that can be.
Familiar with Ring Road, believe it or not.
There you go. Also from your neck of the woods.
Oh, geez, not another one.
No, someone riding a camel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My people.
Yeah. A woman is suing after a runaway camel tossed her to the ground during a tour in Morocco. Brienne Ayala, who's 24, who do you think she sues in this situation?
Let's see. There's probably a camel company.
There is a camel tour.
Okay. Where you get to ride the camel, or no, she just jumped on the camel?
No, you can ride the camel. She sued TripAdvisor.
Oh, God.
What? She says she and her family did not receive a safety briefing before the tour, and that's TripAdvisor's fault. During the tour, one of the handlers told Ayala that the camel she was riding was pregnant. She was about a month away from giving birth. The camel ran off from the caravan, causing Ayala to fall and break her arm.
Aww.
And then the handlers waited to call an ambulance until the tour company owner arrived an hour later. She underwent surgery in Morocco and was hospitalized for 2 days. What was supposed to happen didn't happen, and I don't think you can say it's at your own risk. Too bad. I think you kind
of
can.
If you're dumb enough to get on the back of one of those things, listen, yeah. I've seen those things at Sam Houston Race Park. I would never get on the back of a camel. I mean, even though I'm probably a natural for it.
Right.
I would not do it.
How about in Michigan, where deputies were called to a house where a man pulled out a gun on someone on his front porch. Someone touching his packages.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, it was the Amazon guy delivering packages.
No.
Not wise.
It's about to say I'm team guy, but now I'm not.
Yeah. The driver completed the delivery quickly, left the area, and called 911 to report what had happened.
Oh, boy.
And finally, shout out local here, up my neck of the woods. A man from Klein, Paul Nixon, is wanted on a third-degree felony aggravated forgery charge after police discovered that he forged his wife's signature and a notary's signature while trying to dissolve his marriage.
According to Harry County, like Harris County Precinct 4 Constable's Office, his wife called deputies in May after she found out a Harris County judge had finalized her own divorce without her even knowing about it. He allegedly forged his wife's signature and even a notary signature to make sure his appear his wife consented to the divorce. Court records show Nixon filed for divorce the day after Valentine's Day. The judge signed an order in the proceeding in April. Then on May 14th, the same day his would-be ex-wife called police, deputies filed a motion to vacate the order, which essentially reinstated their marriage once a judge signed it just a few weeks later. No new divorce proceedings appear to have been filed. He's facing 10 years in prison.
Jeez. Oh, well, how many years was he married? That was probably worse. Yeah. Prison's probably a good escape.
Yeah.
All right. I kind of admire him.
Yeah, good try.
It's going to wrap things up. Good job, Aaron. Good job, AJ. It was okay. But we're back and rolling. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.